Happy Sunday, brothers, sisters, saints, and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. The opening song is Joy is Coming from Todd Galbraith. Joy is coming. As always, I hope this podcast is finding you well, finding you happy, healthy, and whole. And I hope that you are rejoicing in this new day that the Lord has made. If you are awake and in your right mind and have your full functioning of your limbs, you ought to give God a praise this morning because He allowed you to wake up to see a brand new mercy. And for that, we ought to offer Him a praise. So today, what I have on my mind, what I would like to share with you is I want to talk about joy, J-O-Y. And the reason that this is in my spirit, it has been in my spirit, is because of a gospel artist that I used to listen to and have been listening to over the years, Mandisa. Mandisa is a African-American gospel artist who was on American Idol so many, many years ago. And I loved her on American Idol, but she didn't win. But she did make, you know, different songs along the way. Made it out here, even despite, you know, not making it and winning American Idol. God blessed her to be able to grace platforms all over the world. And she has some hits like Overcomer and Stronger and these kind of songs, are Good Morning. And I'll play maybe one or two of those songs at the end of this podcast. Well, we'll see how long this podcast goes, because I'm just going to speak from my heart on this. So it depends on how long this podcast goes. But anyway, Mandisa was found dead in her home last week, I believe, and she was 47 years old. And the reason, you know, that I'm talking about it is because I know that Mandisa had some mental illness, and she spoke about this. This is public knowledge that she I don't know if she suffered from bipolar, but she did suffer from depression and sometimes struggled to want to be on this earth. And I just find it so sad that people, and we don't know how she died. I do not know how she died. It's not been released the cause of her death. But it got me to thinking about the number of artists who have shared that they suffer from depression and have contemplated not being here. It saddens me. It really, really hurts my heart to know that professing Christians, you know, people who love the Lord, people who bless, you know, millions of people with that gift, the anointing that God has placed on their lives to touch the hearts and souls of men through their instrument, their voice, and then the anointing that's on them to bless the people, to bless the church, just to bless the world with their voice. And so when I hear testimony, you know, from these people, that when I'm singing these songs of worship and I'm saying that, you know, God is able to do this and God is able to do that, when I'm singing these songs, in my own heart, I don't even believe the words. Or I leave the stage, or I would leave the altar after singing worship songs and ushering people into the spirit or into the presence of God. Then I go to my hotel room and cry all night because I'm sad. I don't have joy. And that breaks my heart. I have a hard time really understanding it. You know, because I'm not going to just discount people's emotions and feelings. But to me, it seems to be a push for us as believers to move away from the remedy that God has placed in the Bible for us for our sadness or our unhappiness, our lack of peace or our anxiety. The things that God has given us as a remedy for these things, the world wants us to move away from that. The world does not want us to trust what God has given us in Scripture to help us to deal with these emotions. You know, these heavy emotions that we sometimes find ourselves in. And it's not good for the people of God to just chuck the Bible and God's way and go for the world's way. Because obviously to me, the world's method, the world's medicine, the world's remedy for our depression and sadness doesn't work. It is ineffective. It does not work. But they want you to chuck the Bible when you feel sad, when you feel down. Wants you to forget what the Word of God says. And to run off to the doctor and find something in his pen that will help you. But we know that the medicines that are given for depression can cause depression, can cause suicidal thinking. If you don't know, I'm telling you that the medicines that they give for depression, for bipolar disorder, for schizophrenia, the medicines that they prescribe, regularly prescribe, commonly prescribe, one of the major side effects is the thoughts of taking yourself out of here. So here the doctor has prescribed something for you that's supposed to help you with these thoughts, but it's placing these thoughts in your own mind. So there's a high rate of people leaving here, taking themselves out of here, who are on those medications because they cause that. Don't you find that interesting? You need to understand that pharmakia is the word for sorcery in the Bible. Now, I'm not against medicine, but when it comes to things of our mind, our emotions, because I believe that these things are caused by spirits. Now, you may turn me off now because it seems like a bunch of hoodoo, but you all have to understand that we are spiritual beings. A spirit created us, and he created us in his image, which means that we are spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings inside a flesh and blood body. So you should not be turned off or offended when people tell you that things are, that this is a spirit. Because Jesus Christ himself dealt with a lunatic spirit in the Bible. The spirit of infirmity. The spirit of heaviness. And this is what depression and sadness, these things are spirit. It's a spirit of heaviness. And because we have a tendency to take ourselves to the doctor to deal with our minds, prescribe things to help us, to give us these different thoughts, but when you look at the side effects, I urge you to find a medicine that is used for depression and anxiety and schizophrenia, and look at the side effects. It causes some of the things that it's supposed to be helping. As believers, we've got to begin to just focus on the things in the Word of God that will help with these particular issues. What does the Word of God say about depression? What does the Word of God say about anxiety? What does the Word of God say about grief and mourning and loss? What am I supposed to do when I have these feelings on me? Now, when I was younger, in my 20s, I dealt with the depression. And it felt like a weight. I dealt with this sadness, and it's almost like you just can't even get yourself out of it. So I understand it. But I knew that the medicine that the doctor was prescribing wasn't helping. It didn't make me feel better. So I had to go to the Word of God. The Word of God. And do what he said. What did he say? What did he say do for the spirit of heaviness? He said, put on the garment of praise. Put it on. See, when you put clothes on, they don't just, you have to actually get up and put clothes on your body. You have to put it on. It's not just going to jump on you. You don't have a dress or a shirt that just jumps on your body. I have to make a conscious effort to go collect it and put it on. A conscious effort to do. And you're going to have to do the same thing when you feel that happiness, when you feel that depression. You're going to have to put on praise. Well, how do I put on praise? What do you mean put on praise? That means I'm going to have to deliberately, intentionally praise. I'm going to have to give God praise, say some praises out my mouth, turn on some praise music, start praising, sing a song from my own heart. I'm going to have to do it. Put on the garment of praise for the Spirit. See, we have been taught that depression is a chemical imbalance. We are over here with the healthcare field saying everything that they're saying, we're parroting it back. But you're part of the kingdom. This is where we have to get into our heads, into our hearts, that we are separate from the world. The methods and the remedies that they have over there, if God has one that's better over here, you better go on over here to the kingdom and see what works over here. There's nothing in the world that's going to be better than what God has in the kingdom. So he said, for the spirit of heaviness, and I see the spirit of heaviness as a depression because it is a heaviness. So I'm going to put on the garment of praise. And that's what I did. I don't deal with depression anymore. Haven't for decades, but in my 20s was going through that. But the medicine wasn't helping. So I had to go into the Word of God and put on the garment of praise. And yes, I have gone through things in my life that make me feel bad, that make me feel sad, but I have to come to myself. Like the prodigal son, sometimes you get caught up in it and you waddle in it a little bit, but then you have to come to yourself. Come to yourself. Realize who you are. Remember who you are. And put on the garment of praise. And that's the only remedy that I use, as well as prayer. And I have some other remedies for you that we're going to talk about as we begin to talk about joy. But the people of God should have joy. You should have a joy in you all times. Because we can have that. If we do what the Lord says in his word, we can have this joy all the time, a perpetual joy, despite the things that are going on in our lives. And not only can we have it, it was not going to be a hidden joy that's not expressed. It's going to be a joy that we even express. So we're not rejoicing at bad situations. We're not rejoicing because of the situation, but we're going to rejoice while we're in the situation. I'm not rejoicing because my spouse died or my child died or my parent died. No, I'm not rejoicing because of it, but rejoicing in the situation. Not allowing the grief to take me to a place where it doesn't seem like God is even in my life. It's painful. Death to loss of a loved one is painful. But you don't want to get to a place where you have no joy at all for the rest of your life because you've lost this person or you've lost that person. It hurts. It's painful. You're going to miss them. But it should not rob you of the joy that comes in serving God. It should not rob you of that. And everything that you're asking the medicine to do for you, God can do it. Go to the kingdom doctor and let him help you. Let him help you with your mourning, where you can put on the oil of joy for your mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We've got to go over into the kingdom where we reside and ask and use the tools, the remedies that are over here for us. and stop going outside into the world to try to help you. Because what happens when we go with pharmakia, with medicine, is trying to fix something, but while it's trying to fix something, it's causing something else. Now, I'm talking about the mind. When we're dealing with our mind and our emotions, these conditions like depression and anxiety and all of these things is what I'm talking about here. Okay? Now, if you got high blood pressure and all these other things, go on and get you some medicine. But even God can heal that. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. See, if you don't believe that Jesus is a healer, then you are not going to get healing. If you don't believe in the power of healing, you don't believe Jehovah Rapha is God our healer, then you're going to stay over there on this side and get your medicine. The people that got healed, these are people that believe. They believe in the power of healing. They believe that God is able to do it. And so they were healed. But not everybody has that level of faith. We're so connected to the doctors that we don't have that kind of faith. So it's okay. You have the measure of faith that you have. But what I'm talking about is when it comes to the mind. The mind. These are attacks of the enemy. Depression, clinical depression, is an attack from the enemy. Schizophrenia, that's an attack from the enemy. Yes, I believe that. I believe that there are spirits, because the Bible, Jesus dealt with a lunatic spirit. He cast that demon out, and that man sat there clothed. He was in his tomb, was naked, strong, and hollering at folks and all this other, scratching himself, all these things. But after Jesus cast those spirits out of him, he was clothed, had on clothes, and was sitting there in his right mind. The Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power, of a sound mind. This is what the Spirit of God gives us, a sound mind. So if I have God in me, then I'm not going to have no lunatic mind, because that doesn't come from the Lord. A spirit of a sound mind. Okay, so there can be a spirit of an unsound or lunatic mind. So when it comes to those things, I believe that it's a spirit that needs to be cast out. Or there's a remedy, or there's a garment that needs to be put on. Now, I know people don't like this kind of preaching because we're so connected to the doctrine. This is why we don't see the kind of things that they saw in the Bible. This is why we don't see the healings that they had in the Bible. Because so many people just don't believe. They're too scared to believe. They're too scared to believe that God can heal me. Because what if he don't? Then I might die. So I have to go over here and make sure that I get some medicine to help God. Because in my heart of hearts, I just don't believe. And that's just the truth of the matter. And we know it. But that the spirit of heaviness, or the spirit of depression, the type of things that come with that, the signs and the symptoms that the doctor will look for in those, these are things that the Bible has given us remedies for. When I think of depression, I think of darkness. There's a darkness. You can't even really see. You know, you feel dark. There's a hopelessness. These are signs of depression. And the Bible tells us who our hope is. But when I feel hopeless and dark and sad and heavy, loss of interest, loss of pleasure in activities, excessive crying, anxiety, sleepiness, all of these things are signs of depression. So, Saint, if you're feeling these things, you need to go to the Word of God. Because a fruit of the Spirit is joy. If I have the Spirit of God in me, the Holy Spirit resting and living in me, well, one of the fruit of Him and His presence in my life is joy. It is joy. And joy, what the Bible says about joy, so many things about joy, but one of the things is it is a fruit of the Spirit. And a fruit of the Holy Spirit, not your spirit, but the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there should be some joy. There should be some joy. Now, one of the scriptures that I want to share with you that I want you to hold on to here is Psalm 16:11. And it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So when I look at depression, there's no interest. Some people don't have any interest in anything. They can't find pleasure in anything. They are sad. They don't have joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy." In thy presence, in the presence of the Lord, is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So in the presence of God, that is where I will find the fullness of joy. In the presence of God. So I need to remain or get in the presence of God, because that's where I'm going to find joy. So when I find myself slipping into this sadness, I've got to run to the presence of God. I need to run to his presence, because in that place is where I'm going to find joy. Not just a little bit of joy, but the fullness of joy. It is in his presence. So the remedy for my sadness is the presence of God. The presence of God. So when I'm feeling a serious loneliness and heaviness, and I don't have any pleasure in anything, and I don't have any interest in anything, and I can't sleep, and I got all this stuff going and swirling around in my head, I better find the presence of God. I need to get in his presence. Because if I remain in his presence, guess what? I'm going to find the fullness of joy. What's happening is we're getting outside of his presence. We're preaching disconnected from the presence. We're singing disconnected from the presence. We're dancing for the Lord disconnected from the presence. We're teaching for the Lord. We're playing instruments. We're leading worship. We're doing all of these things, but we're disconnected from his presence. We're doing that in our own strength. We're doing it in our flesh. We're doing it outside of the presence of God. That's how a worship leader can sing all those songs and lead other people into worship, but not get into the presence themselves. Still feeling sad, walking off the altar or off the stage or wherever they're performing at, feeling down, going to the hotel room crying because you weren't in the presence. Because there's no way that if you're in God's presence, that you're not going to have joy. So the problem is, you are not in the presence of God. You are not abiding in his presence. And if you are not there, get there. Get there. You can enter into the presence of God, because that is where you're going to find the fullness of his joy. That's where you're going to find it. So every time I hear a gospel artist get on a platform and tell the world that I have been leading you in worship, but I don't even believe what I'm singing, that's a problem. You're not glorifying God in that. You're not glorifying God. What you're saying to the world is, his word doesn't work. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell, and his word does work. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. And I studied the word joy. And one thing that the lady who was teaching on the word joy, because she said in Hebrew, the word joy means simha. And if you split it up, it's like a compound word. Sim means put. Ha is laughter. So joy is put on laughter. Put it on. It's a conscious thing that you have to do. You have to put on joy. You have to do something. Find something that makes you laugh. Find some praise that you can get into. Find the presence of God and you will have that joy. Because the Bible does not lie. The word of God is real and it's true. And it says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. So brother, sister, saint, or friend, if you are dealing with the spirit of heaviness, put on laughter, put on the garment of praise, but most of all, get into the presence of God. Stay there, because it's there where you will find the fullness of joy. And if you're dealing with anxiety, cast your cares. The word says be anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, we're going to make our requests known unto God. And when we do that, there's a supernatural peace that will overtake us. Cast your cares upon God. He is our hope. Put your hope in the hope, which is Jesus Christ. You can battle depression by doing what the Word of God says. You do not have to take a pill. I'm saying that. I want us to read a few scriptures, and I know I don't like my episodes to run long, but I want to just read a couple of things. I'm going to read Romans 14:17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:15-13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not the power of appeal, but the power, not the power of therapy, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. It's God that will fill you with this joy that you seek, and peace in believing. There's peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So, it is God who will give you the joy that you seek. It is He that fills us with joy. Also, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit trieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good. So you keep your heart joyful. Excuse me. If you keep your heart joyful, it works like medicine. It works. A merry heart is a medicine. You ain't got to swallow nothing. You ain't got to get no water for it. You ain't got to gag at the taste of it. Just have a merry heart and it works like medicine. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to share. I did want to go to John 15 and read a little bit about that. But I will end it with this scripture. And it says, this is John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And the things that he was talking about in John chapter 15 before he got to this verse, and you can go read it, is about abiding in him, about being staying connected to the vine. Okay? So abiding in Jesus Christ, he talks to the saints about doing that. And so I know it's long, but I'm going to actually go back and we're going to look at John 15 really quickly. So I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The key to a enduring joy is abiding in Jesus Christ. The key to an abiding joy, an enduring joy, is to abide in Jesus Christ. And you are abiding in his love. You're going to abide. That joy is going to remain in you. And your joy is going to be full. And that's all I have for you. Until next time, grace and peace.